to talk about Christians and entertainment. This is the fourth part in the series of Changed Actions, and I intend to get through this tonight. This will be the end of our Changed Actions series. We got some other things happening, and then the next sessions I pick up in teaching are going to be Changed Appearance. So closing in Changed Actions, we'll talk tonight about Christians and entertainment. Christians are careful with their entertainment. So we're going to talk tonight about our recreational activities as Christians, things that we watch, things that we read, things we hear, places we go, sports we engage in, etc. Now, I want to reiterate that Christians are careful. Everyone say careful. We are not opposed to having fun. Got to make that clear. We are not against entertainment. We are not proponents of boredom. That's not what Christianity is all about. However, we're careful. In fact, Proverbs says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. There's nothing wrong with laughter and fun, relaxation, having a good time. Fun is fine. However, fun doesn't justify ungodly activities. And see, that's where we're different. That's where we're different. We live in a culture that really, if it's fun or if it's humorous or somebody calls it enjoyable, then it doesn't matter exactly what's going on. And we differ from that. As Christians, we follow the scripture. Tonight, our session is going to proceed like this. I'm going to talk about principles quickly. Then I'm going to talk about practical applications. I'm going to give a few examples. And then tonight we're going to enter into question and answers, Q&A. So as we go along tonight, if I say something or something strikes your mind regarding this Bible study, when we get to Q&A, I don't want to hear, so do you think Hillary's going to run? I'm not going to address that, okay? We're going to talk about this Bible study in Q&A. So if it pops into your mind, write it down. We'll have some time for you at the end to ask questions in this session. I'll do my best to respond to them then. We'll see how much time we have. What we may do is dismiss folks who don't want to participate in Q&A and then keep folks over who do. We'll see how it goes. Is that okay? All right, great. So the principles carrying over from last sessions are right at the top of your outline. I'm not going to review all of those. Been doing that, but they're there for your reference. The last one I do want to talk about a little bit more this evening. And that one is this from 1 John 2:16. Our actions don't give place to sinful humanity. Our actions do not give place to sinful humanity. Now, I want to revisit that principle with some detail tonight because it applies so clearly to our entertainment. 1 John 2:16 reads like this, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." So because of these three things, there's some things that Christians do and don't practice. Because of the lust of the eyes, Christians guard what they see. Christians are careful with what they look at. We are cautious with our eyes. In Luke 11, 34 and 35, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. Everyone say, thank the Lord. But when your eye is bad, your body is also full of darkness. Oh, no. I'm getting into responsive stuff. We've been working with children's ministry, so forgive me. I have to step out of that. Verse 35, therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. The point here is this. Our eyes affect our entire being. Things we look at, things we see, the stuff that enters into our minds through our eyes affects our entire being. In Psalm 101 and 3, the psalmist wrote, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. I shall not cling to me. It shall not cling to me. Now, in other words, he associates wicked things with the work of those that fall away. Now, that'll be important here as we go on a little farther. In 119:37, he says, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way." In other words, things that are a waste of time and energy. I won't set worthless things before my eyes. So what's your point? My point is this. Christians are careful with their eyes. We protect the things that we see to the best of our ability. And then due to the lust of the flesh, Christians guard against fleshly temptations. In Romans 13, beginning at verse number 11, it says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." In the New Living Translation, that 14th verse reads like this, and it's very eye-opening. "And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires." Well, that's clear. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Now, folks, there are a number of things that impact our thinking. We talked about thinking a few weeks ago. It's going to come up again later tonight. So I want you to notice the power of that verse. Don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Galatians 5 talks about the flesh and the lust of the flesh and the spirit being contrary to one another. In 2 Peter 2, verses 7 to 11, it says, "And delivered righteous Lot." Now, this is a very eye-opening passage. "The Lord delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked." From what we can tell, Lot was not involved in that. But he was oppressed, by others' wicked conduct. It oppressed him. And then it got this verse number 8, it explains, "For that righteous man," talking about Lot, "dwelling among them, tormented his righteous soul from day to day." Now how did that happen? "By seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." Seeing and hearing their lawless deeds tormented their souls. I'm going to talk at the close of this session about how we can make examples of implying this. I'm going to talk about the things we see, our viewing, and I'm going to talk about the things we hear, our listening. Notice what's going on here. Lot was a righteous man, but he put himself in a bad spot. He was tormented and oppressed by the things he saw and he heard, other people's wickedness. Later we're going to talk about environment. You know, Lot chose to live in Sodom. That's ridiculous in and of itself. Well, preacher, he survived. He made it out. His wife didn't. His kids didn't. Everyone else was destroyed. Verse number 9, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness." Remember, we're talking about the lust of the flesh. "These people despise authority, they're presumptuous, they're self-willed, not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries." Last time I read from this passage, a man stood up in the audience and yelled at me. "Not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries." Interesting. What are you saying? I'm saying Christians guard against fleshly temptations. We are careful with our sinful humanity. We are careful with what impacts our thoughts. We are careful not to put ourselves in oppressive and tempting situations. The final thing it mentions there is the pride of life. Christians accept pride is dangerous. Now, I'm not against a healthy self-esteem. We shouldn't go around being fearful all the time and feeling like failures and we can't do or accomplish anything. I don't believe that's the will of God. But pride is dangerous. Jesus is speaking in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. He said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man." Notice, pride defiles a man. Some of those other things, reading along, we ought to think, yeah, that'll ruin you. Yeah, that'll ruin you. That'll take you downhill. But pride is included with that. Pride will defile a man. In 1 Timothy 3:6, Paul is talking to Timothy and he's talking about Christian leaders and what they need to do. And he says this in verse 6, that leader shouldn't be a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, everyone say pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Now, folks, can I just remind you something? Satan, the devil, the enemy of the kingdom of God, used to be God's right-hand man. He was one of the angelic leaders in the host of heaven. The guy worked hand in hand with God. That angel, Satan, are y'all following me? He was in the presence of God all the time. What happened to him? Pride. Pride's what happened to him. And he's condemned due to that pride. So Christians, we recognize pride is dangerous. That's something we pay attention to. Pride is dangerous. So those three elements are particularly applicable to Christian entertainment. I want to share a couple additional principles that will help us to consider. First of all, this one. Christians deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. In Titus 2, 11 and 12, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us." So the grace of God teaches us what? Denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. That's what the grace of God is all about. It's to teach us there is a better way to live. It is to not to smooth over our lousy living. It's not to excuse our pitiful excuse for living. No, grace is to teach us there's a better way. There's a better way. So we deny ungodliness and worldly lust. So in terms of our entertainment, you know what we need to ask ourselves? If I'm involved in this, if I'm participating in this, if I'm watching this, listening to this, reading to this, am I denying worldly lust and ungodliness, or am I inviting it? Now listen, regardless of how much emphasis we place on the incredible blessings and promises of Christianity, I do my best to really highlight those things. I believe Christianity doesn't get enough of a strong sale on the wonderful, awesome, and incredible thing that it really is. Yet, no matter how much we talk about that, I still have to remain true that Christianity involves saying no to some things. It just does. We deny ungodliness and worldly lust. It means saying no to some things. The other thing I want to remind us in principle is that Christians live carefully. In Ephesians 5, 15 to 17, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Walk circumspectly. Does anybody want to venture what that means? Walking circumspectly. Carefully. That's a great attitude right there. Yeah. Soberly, all right, it's a good one too. No, kind of. Goes with carefully. Walk circumspectly means to pay attention around you. Look around you. Be aware of your surroundings. Maybe a good word is attentive. Attentive. In verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now that's the reason we walk circumspectly, because the days are evil. Verse 17, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So the way to walk circumspectly, attentively, paying attention, carefully, is to understand the will of the Lord. And once again, I will read this for you in the New Living Translation, because it gives us some wonderful little snippets that are very clear. Sounds like this. So be careful how you live. There you go, Marlene, careful. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So some real clear statements. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. Don't act thoughtlessly. Understand what the Lord wants you to do. What are you saying? I'm saying Christians live carefully. Christians live carefully. Now, we look at those principles. How do we practice those principles? These are the things that are supposed to be lived out in our lives. How do we practice those? How do we apply those in daily living? And for tonight's discussion, specifically to our entertainment. How do we do that? Well, I will offer tonight to live according to these principles. There are some specific things we should take a look at in our entertainment and evaluate them by the principles. Three things that I'll have us to consider. And I offer this, folks, as a line of biblical thinking, as a way of biblical thinking and process. I'm speaking tonight to help parents when your children come and say, hey, can we do this? Can we sign up for that? Can we be involved with this? You know, I'm available to give you an answer on the phone, but I would rather you be able to think through this. I would rather you be able to say, well, what's the process? How do we apply biblical principle to decide to say, yes, no, maybe, we'll see, let's try it out? How do we know what to do with that? For you individually, you're on a business trip out of town and a few folks are getting together to go here or there or invite you to this or that. How do you know whether to say yes or no? There's the pull of the business relationship and the social aspect that is necessary, and yet, you know, I want to live righteously and soberly in this present age. So there needs to be a thought process. How do you get about this? Three things I want to talk about. One is content. What is entertaining me? Content. The second thing is participants. Who is involved? And the third thing is environment. What is the overall atmosphere of this particular entertainment, positive, neutral, or negative, just to give us something to think about, but the overall atmosphere, content, participants, and environment. And so let's take a look at how we would apply those and what those mean. First of all, content. When I think about what is entertaining me, what is entertaining me? In Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse number 28, the scripture records this, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death. Not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Now, I read that whole passage so you get a sense of what was there, but it's that last phrase that I wanted to draw our attention to in regard to content. But also approve of those who practice them. From that phrase, I want us to ask ourselves this question about our entertainment. Do I allow myself to be entertained by those who are practicing things listed here in Romans? Am I showing my approval by allowing entertainment with those things in mind? Am I making sense here? You follow what I'm talking about? Am I being entertained by others' wickedness? Folks, further, think about all the things we've discussed in recent weeks. Before, we talked about changed actions, we talked about changed attitudes and the different attitudes that are in our hearts and minds as we change to be more Christ-like. Does the entertainment that I'm considering hinder my progress in any of those? And if so, I go back to the principle that says, hey, let's be careful. Let's think. Let's understand the will of God. You know, we talked recently somewhere in one of those Actions Bible studies, we talked about a Christian's financial involvement in the kingdom of God, that we think different about money. How many remember me talking about that? Yeah. I was talking a few years ago with a pastor friend of mine, and they were doing a whole series about handling our money correctly, and they were actually going through Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace, or it might have been Total Money Makeover, I don't remember, one of his courses. And one of the couples, they were just playing the audio, and they were going through that over a series of Sunday mornings. And there was a couple in the church, they just weren't getting it. They said, Pastor, we got the workbook, we hear what's going on, but we're not able really to handle this whole financial piece. We're having trouble making a budget. We're having trouble taking our income and our expenses and making those things work out. And the pastor told me when he was telling the story, he said, well, here's the thing. He said, this couple, he said, I was happy to try to work with them. They invited me over to their house, wanted me to come to the kitchen, you know, and sit down around a table and we'll work on this. He said, because this couple, every month was having trouble with one of their utility bills. One month it was the heat, and one month it was electric, and one month it was the phone. Seemed like there was this habit month after month after month that their money was running out before the month did. And so they confessed as much and said, Pastor, I think we see the principle, we see the importance, let's sit down and work this out. So pastor goes to their house, they sit down, they begin to go through the checkbook and look over the previous 6 months of earnings and all this kind of stuff. And come to find out, a couple that couldn't pay utilities was averaging about $350 a month in cable and pay-per-view. And they sincerely didn't get it. Now, what are you saying? I'm saying that's a clear case of somebody's entertainment getting in the way of their Christian pursuit. Are y'all with me? It was getting in the way. There were Christian actions and attitudes that they wanted to pursue, but entertainment was getting in the way of that. So we begin to look at these things closely and to consider this. Let me just throw some things out to you. You know, if a Christian has made a right choice, they're going to maintain Christian sexuality as the Bible teaches, then should a Christian be reading the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy? Ought not be happening. Now, I'm not speaking against reading or against books, my Lord, no. But as Christians, we make choices regarding our entertainment and its potential to hinder our changed attitudes and actions. Y'all follow me? I believe you are. You know, if a Christian desires to control his anger, he's got anger issues, he's got tendencies maybe even toward violence. Now, should that person be playing first-person shooter video games? I mean, if our culture and our world, with its distinctly different morals, has rated video games mature and violent, then why would Christians be soaking themselves up in those, particularly if it's an area of struggle? Now, I'm not speaking against video games or video consoles, but as Christians, we make choices regarding our entertainment because it has the potential to hinder my changed attitudes and my changed actions. There's a Christian who struggles with to control her tongue and the things that she says and finds herself speaking before thinking regularly. She's got a weakness for gossip. Should that person be engaged in social media? Now, I'm not speaking against social media, but as Christians, we make choices regarding our entertainment and its potential to derail our attitudes and actions. And so the one thing we ask is content. Everyone say content. Is the content appealing to my sinful humanity in ways that are contrary to Christ? Is it of the world? Am I gaining entertainment from people that are doing things that are patently wrong according to Scripture? Am I being like Lot, who is oppressed and vexed because of what he sees and hears in the wickedness around him? What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we can help ourselves be more successful. What is entertaining me? Let me ask you this question. How much negative content will I tolerate? That might be a personal thing to write down and consider. How much negative content will I tolerate? When I'm reading a book, how many swear words are acceptable? What are those swear words? I mean, how many will I endure? When I'm reading a book, how many pages of immoral activity will I flip through before I say, you know what, I'm throwing that book away? Everybody said, oh my. Well, what's your answer, preacher? My answer is this: less is better and none is best. Less is better and none is best. Next thing we talk about is participants. Who is involved? We're not talking about entertainment, my being involved in recreational activities or being entertained. Who is involved? Now, in 2 Corinthians 6, again, the Apostle Paul, he's dealing with the Corinthian church. They all have been filled with the Holy Ghost, found salvation, and they still got troubles in their life. He's trying to help them weed those things out. So in verse 14, he says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? What communion has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Verse 17, therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So when I'm talking about an activity, an entertainment, does my participation in that activity cause me to create bonds, to become close with people who are contrary to Christ? People who are patently negative toward the things of God. Now, I'm not saying steer clear of sinners. I think sinners are people who don't know what to live. Unbelievers are people who won't live what they know. Some have a knowledge problem. Others have an attitude problem. I think this is specifically talking about folks with an attitude problem. How many have dealt with both and you know what I'm talking about? Sure. Absolutely. I don't believe this is talking about steer clear of people who need to know the Lord. We'd never win anyone to Jesus Christ if we never came in contact with a sinner. This specifically mentions unbelievers. But getting close with them, getting in contact with them, becoming in bonds with them. Notice the words that are used here. Fellowship, communion, accord, agreement. I start spending more and more time with people who just don't like what you're trying to live for Jesus Christ. That's a problem, folks. I get to having more good conversations and maybe even plan a weekend vacation and hanging out with another couple, another family, some co-workers who patently do not believe what you believe. They've denied it. They've discoursed against it. You know what? You're inviting trouble. Because you don't mix those things. How do you put lawlessness together with godliness? How do you put darkness together with light? Belial with Christ Almighty. Everybody with me? It's a very important question. Again, I'll dip into parenting. For parents, when involving your children in various activities, who are the people that are going to be involved? Who am I engaging them with? Who are the authority figures? The teachers, the coaches, the managers? Who's going to have influence over my children and my teenagers? Who's going to have influence over me? Who will be the peers? Who's going to be the classmates and the co-workers and the teammates? Who are the peers that will influence me or influence my child? Who am I going to be interacting with? Who am I going to be agreeing with? Who am I going to be associating with? You see, Christians consider who is involved. We're talking about entertainment. I just want to have fun. Yeah, I know. Fun is fine. Relaxation is fine. But Christians are careful. We pay attention. We are circumspect. We want to know what the will of the Lord is. And so we're careful with the content. We're careful with the people involved. And we're careful with the environment. Is the overall atmosphere a positive one, a neutral one, a negative one? How would I place it? Of course, when you think about the people in attendance, I just talked about individual, but when you attend an event, you go to part of something, you know, is there going to be godly people there? Is it going to be ungodly people there? What's the percentages there? What are the kind of people that are going to be in that environment? What's the quantity of people going to be in that environment? You know, if once a year you find yourself wanting to jump on a motorcycle and go to Sturgis, it's not going to be a lot of worshiping the Lord in Sturgis. What's the environment of that place? Yeah, consider the environment. Nothing wrong with the city, but the environment at that point in time. As a Christian, are you going to be outnumbered? How badly? Are you going to influence that environment, or is that environment going to influence you? We also think about the setting. We think about the surroundings. We think about the location. And you know what? Here's where I'm going to say, remember Lot? He was a righteous man, but he put himself in a horrible circumstance. He paid dearly. I believe he paid personally in his own suffering and the threat to his own spirituality, and certainly in seeing his family destroyed, he paid dearly. So the combined wickedness of people and place caused him oppression and torment. We ought not invite that into our lives. Another thing I think about entertainment and entertaining these kind of things, what's the amount of time I'm going to spend? Where am I going to be? How long am I going to be there? 15 minutes, 15 hours, 15 months, 15 years? Christians pay attention to their environment, particularly regarding entertainment. Now, I'll make this little disclosure. Well, you know what? At work, they make me go to this certain place. I got to visit that customer. There are certain situations that are a little challenging. You know, I get that. They assign you there. If you can't steer clear of those things, you can't live above those things, and you need to start prayerfully looking for another job, that God will lead you to a better environment. If it's only once in a while or a couple of times a year and you can endure it successfully as a Christian and still keep your good job and environment, fine. Then stay in that environment. But it's someplace you had to go because it was work assigned. Sometimes we go places to evangelize that we wouldn't go otherwise. A few years ago, one of my daughters went on this outreach effort in Tampa, Florida, and at about 1 o'clock in the morning, a couple hundred Pentecostal young people went strolling through Ybor City, which is just block after block of college bars. Crazy kids getting loaded and partying. And there goes my daughter down there at 1 a.m. But there was hundreds of them, and they went down the middle of the road, and the kids that were overflowing onto the street, they began talking to college kids and sharing with them their need for salvation. They prayed kids through to the Holy Ghost on the streets right there in Ybor City. Incredible, powerful atmosphere. But listen to me, that was with a whole group. They were out in numbers, in force, had prayed ahead of time. People were praying for them while they were out there. I didn't tell my daughter, listen, go on and hang down at the college bar. You follow me? So there are certain circumstances that come around there. We have to think about purpose. And here's what I'm talking about. With entertainment, it's a choice. It's my choice. Nobody is assigning it to me. Nobody is making me do that. And since it's a choice, let's choose the things that are careful. Everyone say amen. Amen. Let's choose the things that are careful. Because we're making a choice. Now, talked about content, talked about participants, talked about environment. And your outline there, I gave you a number of questions we can ask to kind of roll through. And I'm not going to spend time on those. You can read. So how do we apply all this stuff? Listen, preacher, why don't you now go through a list of about 734 things that we should do or should not do as Pentecostals living today in the greater Seattle area? I won't do that because it would bore us both. That's why we apply principles, and I think it would be impossible to cover everything. And I think there are things that are go either way, and you have to kind of be discerning. So I can't possibly talk about every hobby, every activity, every event, but I can share some examples. And for each of these examples, other things you would apply them the same way, talk about biblical principles, and we'll apply them to content, to participants, and to environment. Everybody ready? Okay, I want to cover this in the next few minutes, and then we'll get to question and answers regarding this material. Let's talk about what we listen to, our listening. Now, there are a lot of different delivery methods for listening. Started out years ago with the old phonographs, that big bell thing they laid down over on a phonograph, ways of listening. Then they broadcast over the radio. Then they put them on records, and then 8-tracks, then cassette tapes and CDs, and now digital files. It still can be transmitted over radio. Then you can get it over satellite. And now there's actually internet radio. And then you can, of course, get stuff over your phone, and then there's podcasts, and I could go on and on and on. Now, you're talking about delivery methods. There's nothing inherently good or bad about the delivery methods. Well, we also need to consider, then, environments. Listening to things, music, speeches, all those kinds of things. There's live events, maybe at a concert, or maybe you're in a coffee shop and they have a little band. Or then you're listening to things with friends, maybe at a party, a gathering, someone's home or in a car, perhaps alone, riding in the car or with headphones on. And then when you're talking about listening, what are you listening to? Well, we could talk about music. There's all kinds of music styles, different genre of listening, all kind of music styles. You can listen to the news, you can listen to sports, you can listen to talk radio, you listen to commentary, you can listen to comedy. If you've rented a car lately, you get into a satellite radio and there's hundreds of stations. All manner of things you can listen to on satellite radio. Well, tell us, Pastor, is country music okay? How about hip-hop? Should I listen to that? What about jazz? I believe symphonic music is fine. Talk radio, as long as it's conservative, you can listen to it. I can't pick it apart that simply. Well, how about a list of bands or a list of musicians or a list of... Yeah, you can't do it. You can't go down that path. But I need to ask this question about content. Everyone say content. What am I allowing to entertain me? What's in the music? What's in the words? What's in the speech? What's in the commentary? What's in the comedy? What am I allowing to process? What am I allowing my mind to focus on? When we look at Romans, I could read it through all again, but all those things listed in Romans... Am I allowing those things to bring me entertainment? Am I allowing what I'm hearing to affect me and to torment me as it did Lot? Am I finding joy from what the Lord terms as wickedness? Now, if those kind of things are in the content, if it's a country song, if it's a top 40 song, if it's Rush Limbaugh, I don't care who the commentator is. If it's on Fox News, if it's late at night, if it's early in the morning, if it's on a podcast, but I was laughing so hard it was funny, doesn't matter. If the material, if the content, if the words, if the message is negative, if it's away from God, then what do Christians do? We're careful, we don't do that. We steer clear. Are you against music? No way! We have it in every service. Regardless of the genre, some songs are good, some songs are bad. Now, I will say this. I do believe there are some genres of music that are more likely to be negative than positive. There are some genres of music that are really very much, 9 out of 10 songs are based in sexual immorality. Now, if that's the case, why in the world would we wade through all that trash to find one or two songs that we can enjoy? No, that's ridiculous. You don't do that. There are other genres of music that, you know what, you're going to have to go a long way to find one that's offensive. And so you could pay attention to that. We have to be discerning. Now, the nice thing about digital music is if you buy an album, the entire project, and you find there's a bad song, you just delete it and it's gone forever. That's a nice thing about digital music. So what are we listening to? Let's talk about participants in listening. Who's performing? Who's the talent? Who is singing? Who is talking? Who's given their commentary? Who's sharing their values? Well, I just listen to talk radio. I hope Howard Stern doesn't fit in that realm. It's talk radio and it's perversion. What are their values? What kind of audience generally follows that particular artist or group or commentator? What's their general attitude and demeanor? And then environment. Is the overall environment positive or negative? You talk about the people, you talk about the content, and what's the overall feeling? How many have listened to a song and afterwards you were sad? Yeah, sure. How many listened to a song and afterwards you thought, man, that's a lot of fun, I feel good? Yeah. I've listened to entire albums and I thought, you know, this must be pretty good. And when it was over, I was like, man, I just want to take a nap. Well, I'm not going to listen to that again. It's creating an environment. It's creating an atmosphere. That's what's being communicated. Music can make people be angry. Music can make people be aggressive. Music can make people be energetic. That's the environment the music is promoting. Really, preacher? You really believe that? I absolutely believe it. We believe it every Sunday. As our worship team and our musicians sing with content unto the Lord in an atmosphere that builds faith, we are trying to create a worshipful environment through music, and it works. If you can do that for positive things, it's clearly evident you can do it for negative things. Other singers are creating environments also. If you're listening with other people, whether that be in a concert or a coffee shop or in the car riding with friends or parties, is the content or environment what you expected? Is it spiritually harmful? If you're in an environment listening to something with other people, here's the question I have. Do you have the courage to leave if it's wrong? Fellas, you take your wife to a coffee shop, there's going to be a nice little jazz band playing. I think we'll sit, drink coffee, and kind of listen to a little music. That'll be great. I ask you this question. If the performers start being lewd between songs, will you get up and leave? If the songs start getting more toward things that are ungodly, will you get up and leave? Do you have the courage to leave? And if you don't, steer clear. What if I'm listening by myself in the car or at home or with headphones? Well, can you change the station? Can you delete the song? Will you remove the artist from your playlist? And if you can't, steer clear. And I'll talk to parents once again. Is that all right? In my experience, teens are not good at leaving when they're in a group. whether large or small. Teenagers in a car are not going to change a radio station when all their buddies, all their girlfriends are in the car. Teens going to a music venue, hearing something that turns awry, they are not going to do it. Very rarely do they have the courage. The tendency is nearly always to go along with the group. But here's the deal. As parents, my wife and I fell into the same rut as every other parent on earth. You know what that is? My children are different. Our children are special. Somehow our children are no longer human. Can I just offer? The safest belief is that our children are human just like other children. How about the things we're seeing, the things we're watching? Let's talk about that a minute. Similar to listening, but it carries more danger because of the lust of the eyes. Again, lots of delivery methods. Whether it's the IMAX, it's a 70-inch flat screen, a computer screen, a tablet, a video game console, a smartphone, it's books, magazines, newspapers, websites, billboards, whatever. There are also environments, again, similar to listening, whether a large group, a small group, or individuals. There are different genres of things that we see. Movies. There are all kinds of styles of movies, documentaries, dramas, children's, action, comedy. There's television shows. There's Broadway productions, be they musicals or plays. There's webcasts. There's YouTube clips. There are apps on your phone where you see both photos and videos. Pictures are shared digitally. That's quite a list, isn't it? I suppose viewing began, you know, way back with the plays of Shakespeare. Putting out stories, gathering people together, and they put on this story in terms of a play. From there, we got into motion pictures and then television. You know, I'm not sure whether Christians took a stand against Shakespeare. I probably could do a little historical reading and find out. But I know many took a stand against motion pictures. Christians said, you know what, we're not going to do that. And then many Christians took a stand against television, said we're going to steer clear. And they were rightfully concerned because television and that content was brought into the homes. You would go to see Shakespeare's plays. You would go to the movie theater and see the movie, but the televisions are brought in your home. Now, it is interesting to me that Christians long ago took a stand against rock and roll music in the old days of Elvis Presley and just started saying, you know what, we're not going to have that stuff. But it's also interesting to me that we didn't take a stand against radios in our homes like we did against televisions in our homes. I'm not sure why, but we didn't. And regardless of that, we live in a far different age because media is broadcast and delivered and available in many, 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 many ways. And since there's so many delivery methods and delivery devices that also have beneficial uses. A television just brings you programming, but you can have a computer that does so many other things and you use it at your office and you use it for work and it'll also bring you television. You have a phone that brings you many things that you need, and cell phones and landlines are becoming, just obsolete. I don't have one anymore, just use a cell phone. And so you consider that, there's all these different ways, but on that cell phone, you can get the internet, you can get anything you want to watch. Of course, you may choose to do without any of those things, and that would be perfectly fine. You're unable to manage the internet in your home, don't subscribe, don't get data package on your phone, don't own a smartphone. That makes sense for individuals, but there's many people it's not practical. I have to be on the internet, it's work required. I need to have a smartphone, it's work required. We've got all these things that we're involved in that have more than one dedicated use. And so how do we deal with all those things? Well, regardless of the delivery, we think about the content, the participants, and the environment. The content, the participants, and the environment. What about the content? Well, all the same stuff that I just said about listening. If the content contains things that are not for God, I'm watching, I'm reading, I'm seeing things that aren't of God, that's not for me. And again, how much negative content will I tolerate? Less is better, none is best. Participants. Who's involved? What's the values of the people? What's the lifestyles of the people entertaining us? Why do you ask that? Because over time, their values will be reflected in their performances. And the environment. I go back to the same thing as with music. When viewing with others, when watching with others, when listening with others, if that's not what you expected, it's spiritually harmful. Do you have the courage to leave, the courage to change it, the courage to make a difference? If you don't, steer clear, get away. The same thing I said about to parents for that goes to parents for this also. Well, I'm not going as fast as I thought. Let me talk about events, sporting things quickly, events and participation. Content, is it entertaining? What is entertaining? Do you think there's any sports that Christians shouldn't be involved in? Well, yeah, I think there's probably some things we should ask based on content, based on participation, and based on environment. Does the activity itself contrary to Christian values? I don't know that Christians should be involved in mixed martial arts, getting in a cage and beating the living life out of one another. I mean, the scripture talks about violence. How could you be a good Christian and beating somebody else to a pulp? I don't know how that works. I don't see how that's good. Perhaps the athletes in the game are acceptable, but what about the folks that are around the game? What if it involves the cheerleaders and the dancers? Can you ignore them? Can you look away? Can you sit far enough in the stands that you're not as distracted by them? And what about your son that you take to the event? And what if I go to an Olympic swimming event? Do I want my daughter watching guys in Speedos? We'll talk about it more in coming lessons regarding biblical modesty for ourselves personally and the way we carry ourselves in public. But before I get to that, beyond what you and I might wear in public, what am I seeing at the events I go to? What am I viewing in the events I go to? When you put yourself in a place to view others in various stages of undress, how does that affect the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh? Now, you know what our world will say today? Oh, it's no big deal, I'm used to it. Ridiculous. If we're used to it, then why do advertisers continue to exploit increased nudity in their marketing? If it's no big deal, then why is it used so pervasively? If it's no big deal, then why does Sports Illustrated do their swimsuit issue every year? If it's no big deal, then why does ESPN the magazine do the body issue every year? If society is used to it and it has no impact, then why is society still drawn to it? Because the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh is still alive and well in this world. That's why. Participants, who's involved? I'm going to get involved in a team, or my children are. What's the coach like? What are the teammates like? Who are the kind of people you're joining with in an audience? Are there lots of families, or are there lots of rowdy young adults? How are the attendees addressed? What's the environment? Is it overall negative, positive, neutral? If I attend this thing, if I go to this thing, is there going to be a lot of drinking and a lot of cursing, a lot of yelling at the refs and coach? Is it going to be noticeably violent? What about the time I spend? Are you saying that we shouldn't do any of this stuff, Pastor? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we don't just sign up without thinking. That's what I'm saying. How much time is involved? And will it keep me away from my devotional time? Will it keep me away from the house of God? What's it saying when I say to my children, it's okay to attend ball games on every Sunday and miss church week after week after week? What is it saying to my kids about my values? We go to church unless there's a ball game. We're saying some things. We're making some choices. But we apply these things to one again and over and over and over. All right, so it's 5 minutes after 8. If you need to leave right now and you got to go, Lord bless you, hallelujah.